everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order. Today on The Horn, Luck Injury Watch continues, so we'll play Doctor. Dak Contract Watch rolls on, so we'll play Agent. Giants quarterback controversy persists, so we will play GM. And Tony's vacation endures, so I'll play TV host. Kaplan, Ryan, Isola, Top Cat. Let's go around the horn.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wait a second. Who is back? It's an extended gig? Here we go.
Alex, we go by nicknames now, huh?
This is a special one.
Great.
Many feet.
Wow.
Let's start off with something he knows. Sources tell ESPN NFL reporter Jeff Darlington that Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott would settle for $34 million a year, which is $1 million more than Carson Wentz. And that if he doesn't get what he wants, he may bet on himself and not do a deal till next offseason when he can become a free agent. So, Tim, this is your account. How do you see Dak's reported asking price, and do you see a deal getting done this season?
I love the idea of settling for $34 million, Sarah. Let me just say this. When it comes to leadership and availability, Dak Prescott should be at the top of any kind of quarterback chart. Talent? I mean, there are still questions, reasonable questions to be asked after 3 years. If he deserves to be up there with Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, all the Super Bowl winners that are up in that mix. Now, Carson Wentz, people go back and forth on who they'd rather have, but with Wentz, it's really because injury concerns. It's not because of a talent thing. If it's going to be around $34 million, I do not expect the Cowboys to get to that figure. And I don't think there's anything wrong with the Cowboys letting him roll the dice. The worst thing that can happen is he has a great year and they go to their first NFC championship game in 23 years, and then they have to pay him. That wouldn't be so bad.
Emily, what about you? You think he gets done this year?
Yeah, there's two ways that Dak can look at this. One, go get yours. You have a higher QBR than Carson Wentz. You've played all the games. He's missed 31% of his starts. You have more division titles, more playoff appearances. Of course you should not take less money than him. The other side of the spectrum is, okay, you play on a team, and a lot of times championship teams have to take less so their players can get more. Your top target and a running back who make your life a lot easier both need to get paid. Now, I think Dak is going to opt for option A because, of course, I advocate for all players. But if he does it, he's going to have to bet on himself this year, and I don't think the deal will get done.
Isola, to you.
See, Emily, you sound like you want to be Dak Prescott's agent, but I'm going to be the GM of the Cowboys. I'm going to say, you keep talking about Carson Wentz. Well, why don't we compare you to Nick Foles, who won a Super Bowl, has won 4 playoff games. He signed for $22 million a year. And I'm not saying it has to be 22, but what about in the $25, $26, $27 million a year range? I think that's a fair contract. $34 million, as Emily did point out, I mean, then you start affecting the rest of the roster. To me, if I'm the Cowboys, 30, I'm drawing the line right there.
Interesting that you think that's a fair number, but Dak is way off from that, so the chances of you getting that deal done don't seem very good. Bob Ryan, on to you. Is there somewhere in the middle, maybe, or are you going to go with 34 mil?
No, I'm not going to go with 34. You know, there's something crazy about a system in which a Jimmy Garoppolo is the seventh highest paid quarterback in the league. What has he done for us lately? You know, yeah. I mean, not no offense, but come on. It's a crazy system, okay? The second thing we got going on here is that Jerry Jones, this is not his first rodeo. He sounds very sanguine about the whole thing. I'm talking about the whole thing. I'm talking about Dak. I'm talking about Zeke. I'm talking about Cooper. He's going to get them all signed. He knows it's going to happen, and Dak is going to take his 30 mil, and if he doesn't do it and he wants to wait till next year, fine. But Jerry isn't going to stress. I really don't think so. He's much more concerned about getting Zeke settled.
Interesting, because we've certainly seen Jerry Jones stretch before, but from what he said yesterday, you could be right. Jerry Jones reiterated yesterday he wants to sign Dak, Zeke, and Amari Cooper to long-term contracts, but the deals have to allow him to keep his young roster intact. Kalashaw, what do you make of Jones' comments there?
Well, he's thrown out a lot of different ones. This was just the latest after earlier telling us Super Bowl teams don't need rushing champions, even though all three of his Super Bowl teams had a rushing champion, oddly enough. You know, now he's throwing out DeMarcus Ware. They had to get rid of him because of salary concerns at one point in time. It's true. They have a very good young roster. They got a lot of defensive players. They got to pay soon. They have the money to get these things done, but not if all three of them are trying to move right to the top of the pay scale of their positions.
Emily? This is all a bit about posturing for Jerry Jones. At this point, he might as well say, hey, let's just be the Patriots, guys. Tom Brady took less. Be Tom Brady. Take less money.
Yeah. That goes over well with the Cowboys. Frank, what about you?
Well, you know, Bob mentioned Jimmy Garoppolo, and to me, that is right in the Cowboys' favor. Here you're giving Garoppolo a lot of money, and what has he done? Absolutely. Dak Prescott, if you're going to make him one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL, that's more than being fair. I think Ezekiel Elliott's going to get paid. Cooper should get paid. But Jerry Jones is being smart. He's looking at that Patriot model saying, you know what? They've had the best quarterback and a lot of very good pieces, and they keep winning.
No, it seems like it's out of character for Jones to start being cheap now. We'll see. Moving on, Giants owner John Mara addressed the team's quarterback battle yesterday saying, quote, I hope Eli has a great year and Daniel never sees the field. Daniel Jones, you remember, number six in the draft, 14 of the last 15 quarterbacks picked in the top six, started at least 10 games as a rookie. So with that in mind, Frank, how do you hear Mara's comments?
When I hear John Mara say that, what I'm thinking is he's doing what every organization tries to do to a legendary player. They want to give him a graceful exit, and it's not always easy. You do not draft Daniel Jones 6th overall thinking that Eli Manning is going to play all 16 games unless he's winning. If the Giants go 10-6 in their playoff game, I think Eli Manning will be the starting quarterback. But if he struggles, much like what happened to Eli as a rookie when they had Kurt Warner, they'll eventually put the rookie in there. So John Mara is saying, hey, Eli can play all 16 games, but we better win. If they struggle, you go with the rookie. That's why you draft him.
Bob Ryan?
I think that Mr. Mara has riled up his fans because the big raging controversy on the morning of the draft was as follows. If they go at 6 with a quarterback, that quarterback has to play. It means the end of Eli Manning.
Yep.
Because they need help other places. That right. And when they took Jones, people went crazy. Because if they're going to play Manning, then people fault that they needed to get help at other positions. And that makes sense to me. So this is going to rekindle this again. And damn right well, Eli's got to play well for this to make any sense at all. But now, on the other hand, what Mara is saying is if he does play well, and if he is to play 16 games, it does mean we have done well. But I think he's got the fans, he's created that controversy once again.
Yeah, quarterback controversy, now controversy with fans. Kyle LaShaw, what do you make of his comments?
You know, we know billionaire owners live in a different world from us. We don't know that it always makes a lot of sense, the world they try to live in. Let's just put it this way. When a team lets Odell Beckham Jr., Landon Collins, and Olivier Vernon go and then uses a high first-round pick on a player they don't want to play, are they really in line to have that good of a season? I think we all know the answer is no. If they are good, why wouldn't you want to be playing the young quarterback? The only reason not to play these guys is if your offensive line is going to get him killed or if you're just on a terrible team that's getting him beat up. If your team is okay, he should be out there learning.
Emily?
It's training camp season. Hope springs eternal. Everyone should be speaking aspirationally. Everyone should be speaking in an ideal situation. In an ideal world, the Giants play better than expected. Eli Manning does well. They win. Daniel Jones sits for the year and magically transforms into Patrick Mahomes. Realistically, they're probably going to be a not-so-good team. And realistically, we're probably going to see Daniel Jones at some point. People never talk about this. When Patrick Mahomes sat for the entire year, he actually played for the last game, and that gave the Kansas City front office enough confidence to go trade for Alex Smith. We're probably going to see Daniel Jones play at some point this season. I would be shocked if we didn't.
Frank Isola in New York, last word.
Well, here's the thing. You know, she's talking about the Kansas City model of playing Mahomes not until the last game of the year. Remember Jared Goff, he took his lumps, and everyone was wondering, wow, is this good for him? Is he worthy being the number one overall pick? Look where he was a couple years later. He was in the Super Bowl. To me, there's no way of doing it. This is more about giving Eli Manning a graceful exit because they know it's ending probably sooner than later.
Shermer McVay is the question. Kyle LaShaw, last word.
Yeah, I mean, I know people in New York went a little nuts after Daniel Jones' first game. He got one series in against the Jets' second-team defense, which included some third-team guys on the defensive line, and they said, play him now. That's not really a good way to say, okay, he's really ready. We need to see a lot more.
That's what we do in New York.
Moving on. You guys do a lot of things in New York. First, it was a calf strain for Andrew Luck. Then a small little bone, a.k.a. the os trigunum. Now Colts GM Chris Ballard says the small little bone in the back isn't the problem. It's more the high ankle-ish in the front. Quote, we think we found it, said Ballard of the cause of Luck's pain. Good news, I guess, as they tailor his treatment. Bad news is they can't say for sure he'll be ready for week one. So, Dr. Kaplan, what do you make of this new information?
When Andrew Luck missed that entire season with a shoulder injury, we had little to zero information the entire time, and that's probably what the Colts prefer. They don't want to give us updates if they don't have to. Chris Ballard had to go on a conference call with reporters last night because his owner went and spewed some information that he didn't want out there. Look, I think in an ideal world, it's going to be better, but it's fluid. They probably don't know what's going on. We don't know what's going on. And I think it's fair at this point to question whether we're ever going to see a full Andrew Luck healthy again. And Chris Ballard should be lucky that he built a very good offensive line and has a competent backup in Jacoby Brissett.
Isola, do you know what's going on?
No, not really. I know that he's not going to play in the preseason, which isn't good. He might not be available for week one. Here's the thing with coaches in the preseason. At least practice. And now it's, I think he's gone on 12 straight practices that he hasn't participated in. That's not good. How can you not be concerned with this injury? My son had that same thing, the ostrogonin bone, whatever it is, floating around in there. Eventually he'll get good. But Emily is 100% right. Why is the owner going on radio talking about the injury? They just want to leave it as a calf injury, and he let the cat out of the bag. Big time mistake.
But points for you for the inside information, literally inside your son's leg. Bob Ryan.
Ostrogonum.
I love the high ankle ish. I'm a big ish guy. Now, that said, I think that what's happening behind closed doors is they're going like this. Oi, what's with this guy? He misses one full season. He had seven games in another season. When he's out there, he's terrific. He threw 39 touchdown passes last year. He had the highest QBR rating of his career. He had the best percentage passing of his career. We know how good he is. Moral of the story, we can't count on this guy. Thank God we do have a reasonably quality backup in Jacoby Brissett, who has won games and can win games and can maybe get you, I'm going to say not to the Super Bowl, but maybe to the playoffs.
Well, we know you know you're ish.
They're going to be very grateful they got this guy.
So that's good. Kalashaw, take us home.
You know, I just think Colts fans have to wonder what they've done wrong. They thought they'd endured the worst a couple years ago, and now he comes back and has this comeback player of the year season. They've got this great offensive line that protects him, and now he can't even drop back to throw a pass. It's very worrisome, not just for Colts fans, but for everybody who wants Bob Ryan's evil empire team up in Foxborough to someday stop going to the Super Bowl and let somebody else from the AFC go. It seemed like the Colts might be that team. Right now it feels like they're not that team.
There's your horn, and here comes your break. Look at these scores. We got a tight one here. It's going to be hotly contested in buy or sell. There are it's people who cheating. Don't want the Patriots yeah. to win.
Oy, oy.
Never heard of that.
Yeah. I don't know. New
Bob always wins.
An item we saw today out of the Associated Press, the possibility of a separate union for NFL running backs. Not clear how realistic this is or how many, if any, current NFL players are behind it, but let's play along. Average pro career for a running back is 2.57 years, by far the shortest of any position. Average salary lower than all but fullbacks and long snappers. So, Tim, you buy in a separate union for RBs?
I see what you're doing, starting in the red states with your do we need more unions question. But anyway, I'm going to give you the right answer. And no, we don't need this. This reminds me of the baseball players who actually said, you know, we used to get overpaid toward the end of our careers and teams aren't doing that anymore. We need to change that. Teams have figured out. Unfortunately, the truth is most running backs, not the best ones, but most of them are as good as they're going to get coming out of college their first 2 years. It's a hazard. It's an occupational hazard.
Emily?
Can't get a separate union for it.
I'm here for your blue state rebuttal. Look, they are rendered interchangeable, but the system discriminates against them. In the last CBA, the rookie wage scale screwed running backs over out of getting their big payday. It is a shame that they're making less money than kickers and punters, and someone needs to be their advocate. So I don't think this is going to happen, but I would love to see it happen. I'd love to see a running back wage scale in the next CBA, and I hope that current high-profile running backs get behind this and take care of the next generation.
Emily continues to be an agent for many different players. Frank Isola, what kind of rebuttal you got?
Emily, there's a famous quote from a movie. This is the life we've chosen. The running backs know that going in. Unfortunately, their lifespan, career lifespan, is a little bit shorter. But remember this, you know, look at the New England Patriots. We don't know who their running backs are. They keep winning. They've kind of proven over time you don't need that high-priced, you know, big-time running back to win Super Bowl.
Frank, the life you've chosen is covering the Knicks, so I don't think you get to talk. Bob Ryan.
Of course this isn't going to fly, but if it did, we could extend it to other sports where there are job descriptions different and categories. For example, point guards, catchers, and goalies could all have their separate unions in those three sports.
Oh, I don't think we're going to go with that. Moving on, Hard Knocks, but for college football. Penn State, Alabama, Arizona State, and Washington State reportedly in talks with HBO to do a behind-the-scenes access show this season. Mike Leach said, could be good recruiting, could give away secrets. And if the cameras don't feel invisible, quote, people get the Lance Ito syndrome and they start playing to the cameras. Did not think we were going to get a Lance Ito reference today. Okay, are we buy or selling this as a double-edged sword for these schools? Emily.
I'm a Penn State alumna. I'm obviously buying it. It's free recruiting for us. Make our facilities look awesome. Make James Franklin look really cool. Tell them that the ice cream at the creamery is great, even though it's not. As a consumer, I'm skeptical that it's actually going to be good because HBO gives total control for the NFL, and I know that NCAA has a lot more regulations. I'm not sure how much we're actually going to see revealed.
Isola.
Yeah, what we're going to see are the coaches, and that's what college sports are all about. It's always about the coaches. It's not going to be about the athletes. So I'm not big on this. I'll pass on it. No hard knocks.
Leach, Herm Edwards, those are must-watch. Bob Ryan, what about you? You in?
I'll be in if it were Les Miles, and Frank is 100% correct. It's only about the coaches. We don't know these kids, and we really don't care about these kids the way we care about professionals about whom we have curiosity.
Give the points to Frank, then. How about you, Kalashaw?
But we could learn about these kids. Besides, I'm in for anything that involves Mike Leach or Herm Edwards.
Yes.
I don't know about Alabama. Aren't they on TV every day? Isn't Nick Saban? Don't we already
put
get
Vanderbilt
enough?
Put Vanderbilt on.
But his personality can fill hours. Moving on, Ohio State has filed to trademark the word the, as in the Ohio State University, so they can sell official shirts and hats with the on them. So are you buy or selling, trademarking the word the, and are you buying the shirt or hat, Isola?
Sarah, this is the most obnoxious story I've heard in a long time. What about the U down in Miami or Emily's beloved Penn State with the We Are Penn State? Are they going to trademark that? Get over yourselves, Ohio State. That word does not belong to you.
Ooh, sorry. The fire over there. Bob Ryan, thoughts?
As the only person on this panel who is an alumnus of the Lawrenceville School, I would be highly hypocritical were I not to applaud this concept.
I appreciate recognizing it. Kalashaw?
I hope they get the trademark so the most insufferable fans can continue to tell us that what? They're not Ohio University? Did anybody think that's what they were? I never understood this.
R.I.P. Kalashaw's Menchies. The first cut, it's the deepest. Oh, Emily, how could I forget Emily? She's already winning by so much. Emily, what you got?
She's already got too many points.
All right, we are not buying this because it is the most hypocritical NCAA thing ever. Athletes cannot monetize their likeness or their names. Oh. Meanwhile, a university can monetize the most common word in the English language.
Somebody pay Emily for her skills. And Kalashaw gets the point for Top Cat. First cut.
The Emily
it's
Kaplan.
The deepest. And the Emily Kaplan and the Tim Kalashaw are going on.
Go.
Showdown.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Let's get to the showdown. Let's let them play their basketball, and we will play ours, and if we meet, may God help them. That said sort of semi-seriously by Serbian national team coach Saša Djordjević about Team USA ahead of the 2019 World Cup. Said USA coach Greg Popovich, people will talk, but it's usually not something I respond to. Good idea to poke the bear that is Team USA, Tim?
This feels more like poking boo-boo at this point, given all the players who aren't going for Team USA. When you've got Jokic, when you've got some of the other players that Serbia has, hey, take a shot. You might win.
Of course he should take a shot at Popovich because he doesn't even know who's playing for Team USA, but he needs to do a better job scouting him because Popovich, as he does not respond.
Hey, boo-boo. 2 points for Tim. Moving on, Braves outfielder Ronald Acuña Jr. has 34 home runs and 28 stolen bases with a shot at becoming just the fifth player to get 40 of each in a season. The MLB Twitter account put everyone on not just Acuna 40-40 watch, but MVP watch. Good push or bad reach, Emily?
What does baseball need right now? They need a younger audience. Why should they not be promoting a charismatic 21-year-old from a big market?
This feels a little bit like they're cheering for him against Bellinger or against Christian Yelich. I mean, it sounds like they're almost taking sides. Acuna's been great, and he's been really hot lately. I think it's a little unfair to him putting expectations on him to go after the MVP. Right,
I prefer celebrating, so I'm going to give the points to Emily and make this a close one. Tigers opponents don't need any help beating them this year, but the Mariners got it anyway last night. Two outfielders colliding to give Kyle Seager his third homer of the game. Meanwhile, over at Nats Park, one fan's flinch cost her a full beer. Check this out. Laughs at herself immediately, which I love. So, which is the bigger bungle, Tim?
Oh, I got to go with the two outfielders. I mean, the Tigers somehow have a worse record than the Baltimore Orioles. That is impossible to achieve, but they have done it to this point. You have all kinds of ways to lose. Don't get home runs knocked over the fence with your glove.
I'm also picking them, but I want to celebrate the girl behind the bench, behind the batters, because that's super relatable. I flinch all the time. I always stand behind the hockey net, and I flinch. I'm not embarrassed to say it. There's a big piece of glass there. Good on you, and I hope the beer tasted good.
I'm so sorry, Emily. You can never agree in showdown, and neither of you cried about the wasted beer. Tim still gets the win and the FaceTime.
Oh, thank you. I want to say you heard about Bryson DeChambeau and the two minutes, 20 seconds to line up an 8-foot putt. Brooks Koepka got into it with him. Golfers need to take away these maps of the greens they carry around in their back pocket so they can study the break. Look at the green. Read it. Putt it. Move the game along. I don't even like the cards outfielders carry around to show where to stand. Play the game. Don't carry a bunch of stuff in your pocket. Play it.
Play the game. That's going to do it, folks. Thanks for coming around. We're off next week for some R&R. We'll be back in 287 and a half hours, wow. Monday, August 26th, and I'll be back too.